وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
أبا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ. نبدأ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book is Al-Adab al-Mufrad on Saturdays and on the days of Al-Ahad. And in the last class we were on three ahadith. Those three ahadith, they come under Babu Raf'il Aydi Fiddua. They come under the chapter about Raf'il Aydi Fiddua, raising our hands when we make dua, from the manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that when we supplicate to him, we raise our hands unto him subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the manners of making dua, from the adab of dua, is that we raise our hands unto him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We got the how of doing that from these ahadith, but there is a lesson that I want us to pick, and that lesson occurs on hadith 610. It occurs in 611, and it also occurs in 612. In hadith 610, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said radiallahu anha, anha ra'at an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yad'u rafi'a yadayhi yaqul. She saw the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam yad'u. At the time when she saw him, he was making dua, rafi'a yadayhi, while making dua. At that time that he was making dua, his condition was that he has his hands raised up, his two hands, رَافِعَ يَدَيَّ رَأَتِ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَدْعُو رَافِعَ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ. She saw the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام رَافِعَ يَدْعُو رَافِعَ يَدَيْهِ. She saw him making dua, raising his two hands, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the point of reference in that hadith. That shows that when we make dua, we should raise our two hands. When we make dua, we should raise the two of our hands. And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, innama ana basharun fala tu'aqibni, innama ana basharun fala tu'aqibni, أيما رجل من المؤمنين آذيته أو شتمته فلا تعاقبني فيه. Any one of the people of Iman, إنما أنا بشر, I am no other than a human being. I am no other than a human being. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, فلا تعاقبني. So do not bring me to blame, O Allah. I'm a human being. Ayyuma rajulun min al-mu'minina a'zaytuhu, anyone from amongst the people of Iman. In some riwayah it says, ayyul muslimina la'antuhu aw sababtuhu faj'alhu lahu zakata wa ajra. Anyone amongst the Muslims, la'antuhu, that I give a curse, aw sababtuhu, aw that I say very harsh negative words to him, faj'alhu lahu zakata wa ajra, make it a means of zakat, make it a means of purification, make it a means of reward for him. This goes to show that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was a very, very merciful person. He was Nabiyyur Rahmah. He was a messenger who was full of mercy, and he was full of compassion for his people, while recognizing possible show of being a human being. In other reports, it says, "Innama ana basharun aghdhabu kama yaghdhabu al-bashar." I get annoyed as human beings get annoyed. This is an acknowledgement that I'm just a human being too. Aghdhabu kama yaghdhabu al-bashar. I will get annoyed as human beings get annoyed. Then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَأَيُّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ لَعَنْتُهُ أَوْ سَبَبْتُهُ فَاجْعَلْهُ لَهُ زَكَاتًا وَأَجْرًا. So because I get annoyed the way human beings get annoyed, any one of the Muslims that I cause or that I direct add negative statements towards, فَاجْعَلْهُ لَهُ زَكَاتًا أَوْ Allah, make it a means of zakat, make it a means of purification. Wa ajra, make it a means of rewards, Ya Rab, for that Muslim. This shows the mercy and the compassion of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, while recognizing that he is a human being like other human beings. He gets annoyed the way human beings get annoyed. In other reports too, he says, "Ansa kama yansa al-bashar." I get annoyed the way human beings, I forget the way human beings forget. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He sleeps the way he sleeps too, because human beings sleep. He gets tired, alayhi salatu wasalam. He eats food, he drinks water, he goes to the market. This is the human being side of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the other side that for which we say Rasulullah is the fact that yuha ilay, he gets revelation brought down to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. The first point I want us to note there is his compassion and mercy upon us. The second hadith, hadith 611, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam sent Tufayl ibn Amr ad-Dawsi to his people to invite them to Islam. Tufayl ibn Amr ad-Dawsi went, he invited them for years. And when he came back, he told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that ghalaba ala ad-Dawsi zina wa riba. This Dawsi, his tribe, ghalaba alayhim. Mother, ar-riba wa zina. They are people that were overwhelmed with riba. Consumption of interest, usury, galaba alayhim riba was zina, and this evil of adultery and fornication. In other reports, Tufayl ibn Amr, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that inna dawsan qad asat wa abat, dawsa asat, they have disobeyed, wa abat, they have rejected, they have asked, they have, what did they do? They disobey. That is, they have remained upon kufur. Because in some riwayat, yet it says, kafarat, they have disbelieved, they did not accept my message. Wa'abat, they have rejected everything that I say to them. Ghalaba alayhim riba was zina. Taking, consuming riba and making zina has overwhelmed these people. So Tufayl ibn Amr radiallahu anhu said this to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He now added to it, Fadullah alayha, beg Allah against them. They are asat wa abat wa kafarat. They disbelieved, they disobeyed. They were insistent upon kufur. وَغَلَبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الزِّنَا وَالْرِبَى فَدُعُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهَا. So beg Allah to destroy them. There's no value in them. They are kufar, overrun with riba, overrun with zina. I have called. They did not answer. Asat, wa abat. They disobeyed and they rejected what I have said. So, fadullah alayha, O Messenger, beg Allah to destroy those. The reporter who brought this hadith, radiyallahu anhu, Abu Huraira, he told us what happened when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that statement that the people were afraid. فَظَنَّ النَّاسُ أَنَّهُ يَدْعُ عَلَيْهِمْ. So the people were thinking that because Tufail ibn Amr, who was sent to them, had said, فَدْعُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِمْ, beg Allah against them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of doing that, فَاسْتَقْبَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The Prophet then turned in the direction of the Qibla. وَرَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ. He raised his two hands, alayhi salatu wasalam. These are the major point of reference in this hadith. When you make dua, turn in the direction of the Qibla, and then do what? Raise your hands. فَاسْتَقْبَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْقِبْلَى. وَرَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ. The Prophet turned in the direction of the Qibla, and then he raised his two hands. So, ikhwa, when we make dua, turn in the direction of the Qibla, raise your two hands. This is the reason this hadith was brought in this section. But this benefit, I want us to note it because it has come repeatedly. The fact that the Prophet was very compassionate with the people. He was very merciful to them. For all the people thought that ظَنَّ النَّاسُ أَنَّهُ يَدْعُ عَلَيْهِمْ يعني على اقتراح رسول هؤلاء. Upon the suggestion of the one who was sent to those people, Tufail ibn Amr, the Prophet then said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, اللهم اهدي دوسا واتي بهم. O Allah, اهدي دوسا, guide those, واتي بهم, and bring them to us. O Allah, guide them. O Allah, bring them to us. This shows that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was a person of mercy and he was a person of compassion. That even when the people rejected, even when the people remained adamant upon kufr, even when they became overwhelmed with two great evil destroyers, a riba and what? A zina. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still hopeful they will accept. So he began to make dua for him. Allahumma hadi for them. Allahumma hadi dawsan wa atibihim. O Allah, guide those. Bring them to us. Make them make hijrah after accepting iman. This is a show of mercy and a show of compassion by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third hadith we read in the last class was the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. When قحط المطر عاما, he told us that the rains held back during a particular year. The rains held back. The rains were not falling. So everywhere was dry. فقام بعض المسلمين إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوم الجمعة. So one of the people, one of the companions stood up and was saying to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, يوم الجمعة, on one day of Jum'ah. فقال يا رسول الله, that companion said, O Messenger of Allah, قحط المطر, the rains have held back, the rains have delayed, وأجدبت الأرض, the lands have become so dried, وهلك المال, and the animals have started to die. He was making this complaint to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, so that the Prophet will see what exactly and why exactly he is making this request on the day of a Jum'ah when everybody should be seated. This must have Prophet, there's problem. What is the problem? قحط المطر, the rains have delayed. وأجدبت الأرض everywhere is dried on the earth وهلك المال the animals have started to die فرفع يديه عليه الصلاة والسلام the prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم out of mercy out of compassion رفع يديه this is the reason why this hadith was brought in the chapter 8 but I want us to notice the mercy and the compassion of the prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu you see it repeatedly in the hadith we have read in 611 in 612 in 610 it continued to repeat he was a person of mercy he was a person of compassion even when he acknowledged I get annoyed too as human beings get annoyed oh Allah yet he was merciful alayhi salatu wasalam farafa yadayhi the prophet then raised his two hands and said wama yura fi samai min sahabatin at that time the prophet raised his hands ma yura fi samai min sahaba there was no gathering cloud no cloud of rains was in the heaven in the sky at that time no sky had the sky did not have any sort of a gathering cloud that can drop rains he said wama yura fi samai min sahabatin famadda yadayhi so the prophet extended his two hands hatta ra'aytu bayadha ibtihi yastasqi Allah he said famadda yadayhi the prophet stretched his two hands this one goes beyond the regular opening of the hands and bringing it in front of our faces when the dua becomes tough when the situations become difficult we can raise our hands up like the prophet did sallallahu alaihi wa sallam towards the sky he raised his hands from yadayhi hatta ra'aytu bayadha ibtihi he raised his hands for so high so much that I even saw the whiteness of his armpits sallallahu alaihi wa sallam while he raised his hands yastasqi Allah he was begging Allah for rain sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam Anas ibn Malik continued and said fama sallayna al-jum'ata hatta أهم الشاب القريب الدار الرجوع إلى أهله ما صلينا الجمعة he did this during the khutbah لكن فما صلينا الجمعة we had hardly completed Salatul Jum'ah after that khutbah where he made that dua حتى أهم الشاب القريب الدار until a young man who had his home near the masjid old people would not even think about going out as for a young man whose house was near the masjid ahamma arrujua ila ahlihi he was wondering he was anxious about how do I get back home young people began to wonder how do they get back home as for the older people they were not even thinking about returning home رضي الله عنه. In another report, Anas said, "فَمَا كِدْنَا نَصِلُ إِلَى مَنَازِلِنَا." مَا كِدْنَا نَصِلُ إِلَى مَنَازِلِنَا. We almost could not get to our homes. رضي الله عنه. The point here is that, out of mercy, out of compassion, out of ease with the people. Out of love for the people to be in a condition of goodness, the Prophet made the dua, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the rains continued. The rains continued, and I said, radiyallahu anhu, fadamat jum'atun, damat. The rains continued. It continued to fall. In some reports, it says, Ma ra'ayna shamsa sabta. Ma ra'ayna shamsa sabta. For a whole week, we did not see the sun. Why? rains, rains were falling since that Friday. فلما كانت الجمعة التي تليها, when the next Friday that followed that Friday, on the Jum'ah that followed that Friday, the same man. In some reports, Anas was asked, was it the same man? I said, I don't even know whether it was the same man or someone else came out and said, Ya Rasulallah, tahaddamat al-buyut, the houses have started to fall. Wahtabas al-rukban, people traveling have been held back. Those traveling on the camels, they have been held back. They can't go. Why? The rains have been heavy and it has been falling since the last week. فَتَبَسَّمَ لِسُرْعَةِ مَلَالِي بْنِ آدَمَ. The Prophet then smiled. لِسُرْعَةِ مَلَالِي بْنِ آدَمَ. At how so quickly people become tired of something they ask for. People will be asking for something. We want this, we want this, we want this. When Allah gives them, they become tired of the same thing they have been asking for. They ask, we want rain, we want rain type. This is the rain. So the Prophet smiled, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, wa qala biyadihi. And then he raised his hands again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Out of that mercy we are talking about, out of that compassion we are talking about. So he said, Allahumma hawalayna wa la alayna. Allahumma hawalayna, O Allah, make the rains be around us, wala alayna, and not upon us. Let the rains be around us, around Medina, in the outskirts, around us, wala alayna, not upon us. So what would happen? All around Medina there will be rains. But what would happen? Throughout the circle of Medina, there was no rain. Inside Medina, because he said, Wala alayna. Anas said, Radiallahu anhu, Fatakashatat anil Medina, Takashatat yani taqatta'at anil Medina. So the rain stopped on top of Medina, but it was falling outside Medina. In some riwayat, Anas said, it was like a ring around Medina. When you look in the sky, inside the ring, there was no rain. But outside the ring of Medina, there was what? There was rain. Ikhwa, the point here, why Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought this hadith here, was the fact that the Prophet was raising his hands in dua. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rafa'a yadayhi. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raised his hands in dua. So when we make dua, we raise our hands. Sometimes when the matter is tough, when the matter is difficult, when the situation is high, we can raise our hands high up. Like Anas said, he said, Hatta ra'aytu bayada ibtihi. The Prophet raised his hands so high that I was seeing the whiteness of his armpit. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The point I want us to pick in this hadith, apart from the manner of raising up our hands during dua, is what? The mercy and the compassion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was why Allah described him in the Quran at the end of Surah At-Tawbah. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah has sent to you, a messenger has come to you, Rasul, min anfusikum. He's a human being like you. Min anfusikum. He's an Arab, you. All you original receivers of the message. The Prophet is min anfusikum. He's a human being like you. But for the rest of the human beings, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being like us. He was an Arab like the Arabs. The original recipients of the Quran. But he was a human being like all the human beings who were also the original recipients of the Quran. Azizun alayhima anittum. Whatever brings you inconvenience, discomforts him. It brings discomfort to him that we are in a trouble. And that's why at the end of it, it said, Bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim. He is a person of compassion. He was a person of mercy. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This occurred repeatedly in all of what we have read about him. That is not to say the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when the situation required that he went to war alayhi salatu wasalam. When the situation required that he was tough with the people, he was tough with them. And that is what wisdom demands. If you should go to war with the people, you should not send them food and drink. If you should be tough with a person, you should be tough with him. That is the meaning of what? Al-Hikmah. Because that is when you would have placed everything in its place. But overbearingly in it all, kana ra'ufa rahima. The Prophet was ra'ufur rahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a person of compassion. And he was a person of mercy. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, I had not thought that we will read additional hadith today. My mind was on that. We'll spend, after mentioning this point, we'll spend the rest of the time that we have to answer some of the questions that we may have about Abu Abdurrahman. If we have, but I wanted us to note this recurring decimal about him, alayhi salatu wasalam. What was that recurring decimal? Mercy and compassion. Ar-ra'afatu and what? Ar-rahma. Ar-ra'afa. He was, alayhi salatu wasalam, compassionate. You've been noticing compassion with him. And you'll be noticing mercy with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Tufail ibn Amr said, Fad'ullah alayha, pray against those. Instead of praying against them, he says, Allahumma ihdi dawsan wa atibihi. Oh Allah, guide them. Oh Allah, guide them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other man can say, hey, everywhere is destroyed. No food, no this, no. He say, okay, oh Allah, rains. The same man or another man can say, oh, everywhere is scattered. The rain is too much for a whole week. He say, okay, oh Allah, let the rain go behind our city, not on top of us. In all of these, he was, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a person of peace, he was a person of mercy. But like we said, that does not mean that if the situation required toughness, if it required a war, there's an incident I always mention regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day, a large sound was heard in Medina in the middle of the night. Huge sound was heard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went on his horse that was with him at the time. He took his sword. He went on his horse alone in the middle of the night. He went with his sword and his horse in the direction of that sound. That is a man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is that? So he went there, and when he saw nothing, he was returning, was when the people came out, said, go back to your homes, I have gone to check nothing. That shows that he was a man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he was merciful and compassionate, it was not out of weakness. It was not, I was a man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the situation required toughness, he would be tough, alayhi salatu wasalam. When the situation required that he was so merciful, and he was. But in it all, mercy and compassion. In fact, in his toughness itself, there's mercy in it. Because it is a toughness to withdraw people from evil to goodness. And that is toughness, that is what? Mercy in it. Because it was a toughness to make people do what is right. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This lesson, we should be highlighting this aspect of the life of our messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Against the evils that the non-Muslims spread about our religion and about our messenger. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. I'd like us to have, with the half of the time we have today, inshallah, that we should take, if possible, a few questions before we call it a day today. Aba Abdurrahman.
Alhamdulillah. There was a question from last week. It reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah preserve Shaykh Umar Kudus. While making dua, can I ask Allah to give or show me a sign so that I know my dua is being answered?
Some people did that, like Zakaria alayhi salam, when Allah said to him that he will have a son in Maryam, in Surah to Maryam, he said, show me a sign. Rabbi ja'alli aya. Show me a sign. Show me, let me see something. So sometimes the situation, the friendship of a man with Allah can make him say that. Don't forget, Zakaria was a Nabi. And he was a very, very worshipful servant of Allah. Zakaria, very worshipful. And that was why when Maryam was placed under him, Maryam was doing a job that Allah said something near that to make us know the job of Maryam. Ya Maryam uknuti li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i ma'ar rak'in. That was the job of Maryam. Sujood, ruku'. She was a fasting person. She was making sujood always, qiyam. Al-kunut is when a person is full of ibadah, whether standing in ibadah or generally worshipful. So Maryam was, Allah said, the angel was saying about Maryam, to Maryam, be like this. So it was, that was how Zakaria was, who was the teacher of who? Maryam. Maryam was the daughter of Imran. Imran was the imam leading them in Salat, one of their scholars. So if you are a person like Zakaria, if a person full of ibadah, if a person full of al-tawadu wal-inqiyadu lillah, a person of submission to Allah, a person of ardent qiyamulay, ardent fasting, your friendliness with Allah can make you say that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us something like that regarding one of the uncles of Anas ibn Malik alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna lillahi al-ibad, Allah has some servants. Mother, law aqsamu ala Allah, if they swore, wallahi, Allah will do this thing, Allah will do it. They will not need to atone for that vowing. Did you hear this? Allah has some servants, ibad. Allah has some friends amongst us, ikhwa. This is where we should struggle to be. Not that you hardly observe salat in jama'ah. Not that you are a person who is only wanting to do what is compulsory. Like we always ask, is it compulsory that I do this? Is it compulsory that I do this? You have not completely submit yourself for both compulsory and not compulsory for you to become a friend of Allah. We always now, is it haram to do this? Is it haram to do this? Is it haram? That is where we are. That is not the level we are talking about. If you attain the level of full submission, everything Allah wants, you want to do it. Everything He does not want, you abstain from it. Even the ones that He has allowed you, you want to keep away so that you don't fall into the ones that He has prohibited. That is what the scholars refer to as al-waru'u. Al-waru'u is that you even leave halal Why? You don't want to fall into haram. Not to say come to things that they refer to as makruh. Some of us will be doing something, they say this thing is makruh, even upon the istilahi of al-mutakhiri, the legal usage of those who came later amongst the scholars. You see, if you put your after all, it's makruh. Yet, you want to be a person who, when you make dua, you want to tell Allah, do it now, 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 now. Allah says, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُولِ وَلِيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. That is what we should be. Tell my slaves, if they call me, I will answer them. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُولِ. Let them also obey me, وَلِيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, and give iman in me. Look at the man who had traveled a long journey. He was disheveled. He was dirty. He was covered in dust. He raised his hands truly as we should raise our hands. And he was saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ikhwa, take it too. The scholars say, if you call Allah, say, Ya Rabbi, three times, Allah will answer. All this as part of the etiquettes of dua, to always say, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. And they pick that from the verses at the end of Surah to Ali Imran. And this hadith that I'm telling us about. That the companions were saying, Rabbana innana samina munadiya yunadi lil imani an aminu bi rabbikum fa amanna. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyatina wa tawaffana ma'al abra. Rabbana. How many times have they said, Rob, Rob? Ma wa'atana la rusulik, wa la tukhzina yawm al-qiyamati innaka la tukhliful mi'ad. What did Allah follow? Did it? Fastajaba lahum rabbuhum. Allah answered their dua. So add it to your manner of making dua. Always say, Rabbana, Rabbana, oh Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabbi. The scholar says, if you say Rabbi, 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 if it comes repeatedly three times in your dua, Allah will answer it. Look at those people, Rabbana, Rabbana. It came three times. What came in the fourth verse was what? Fastajaba. Because they have been asking like this, Allah granted their supplications. So that man was in the desert disheveled. And he was shouting that, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. That Ya Rab that Allah answers immediately. That raising of the hands was there. That trouble, problem was there. He was in trouble because Allah is Mujibul Muttar Izada'ahu. If you're in a difficulty, if you call Allah, Allah will answer you. The man was in, he was in darar, he was in hardship. He was shouting, Ya Rab, wa madda yadayhi ila sama. He was raising his hands towards the sky. Yet, Allah did not answer his dua. So it is not just fulfilling the conditions. It's not just following the shurut of dua. It's not just following the adab of dua. Like I always say, don't also poison it. So the poison was mentioned in the hadith of that man. What was his poison? Wa malbasuhu haram. His malbas is haram. Ta'am is haram. Wa gudhiya bil haram. He is nourished upon haram. The Prophet said, in a way to make you understand, it cannot be answered. Fa'anna, how can he be answered? Istajabu lahu. Meaning that if you fulfill all the conditions, you must also keep away from the poisons. People may not even fulfill the conditions of dua. People may not even follow the adab of dua. People may even be upon the poisons of dua. And yet they'll be saying that we call Allah and he answers us. How will he answer you? How will he answer you? How? You cooked rice, you cooked jollof rice and fried rice with chicken and vegetable and everything. You now put a poison inside it. And you say you have served a meal. Have you served the meal or you have served the poison? What have you served? That is for those who follow the shurut, the conditions of dua. That is for those who follow the adab of dua. you must remove the poisons from it. Those poisons will not allow your dua to fly. Just like that man we mentioned. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, fa anna yustajabu lahu. How will this kind of a man be answered? So if you are a righteous servant of Allah, if you are a humble servant of Allah, if you are a person who completely avoids disobedience to Allah, and you are given to always ever obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, you don't consume haram, you don't propagate haram, you don't dress in haram, you don't eat haram, you don't drink haram. Ikhwa, you can be a man that you say, Allah will do this now. Bismillah, Allah will do it now. That was what the Prophet said regarding the uncle of Anas ibn Malik. Fortunately, his own name too was what? Malik. What happened was that his brother got involved in a case with a woman, and I think the teeth of the woman was broken. I know there's kisos. وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ وَالْأَنْفَ بِالْأَنْفِ وَالْأُذُنَ بِالْأُذْنِ وَالسِّنَّ بِالسِّنِّ. So the teeth versus the teeth. So the teeth too should be removed. I think that was Al-Rabi'a who was involved. So his own teeth too should be removed. So when they brought the case to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you remove somebody's teeth, your own teeth too should be removed. Because Allah says, "Wal juruha kisas, as-sinnu bis-sinni." So the teeth, if you remove somebody's teeth, that very one you remove, your own too will be removed. Ikhwa, if this our own society, especially if we recognize these kinds of laws, evils will stop. You know that if you blind somebody's eye, that's the equivalent of your own will be removed. It will withhold the hands of a lot of people. You find out that it is even hardly done. Why? Everybody is afraid that they don't want his own eyes to be removed. And one way to prevent that is that you make sure you don't box somebody and box his eyes. So when this companion came, he was saying, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, these people, okay, let them accept that we give a gift or a recompense, a jewel. We should give something in replacement for the teeth." Say, "I don't know that one. What I know is as sin will be sin. What Allah has told me to do is if somebody removes the teeth of a person, then his own teeth too should be removed." When the man was leaving the Prophet Muhammad, after all the insistence, he now said, "Allah will bring something to relieve the matter." He made a dua. "Ha! My brother's teeth will not be removed. Allah will bring something to relieve the matter." Radiallahu anhu. And Allah brought a legislation. Allah brought a legislation. In cases like that, if the people, the other group, in fact, the other group was saying that they don't accept, if I remember the story vividly, hadith. This hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim or Sahih Bukhari, from the fadail of this companion. So the other group too, I think they were saying that they don't want any other thing. What they want is teeth for teeth. We don't want negotiation, teeth for teeth. So the companion made that dua, that Allah will make them to accept. They will not remove the teeth of my brother. When they came back on the day that they were asked to come back, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that, okay, the teeth will not be removed. I think the other party accepted, radiallahu anhum, that there should be a reconciliation of a form, and they reconciled with them, and the teeth was not removed. Thereupon, the Prophet now said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has some servants, Allah has some friends. Law aqsamu ala Allah, if they vowed on behalf of Allah, so to speak, that wallahi, Allah will do this thing, Allah will do it. They will insist in their dua to the extent it will be like a vow. As if to say they are vowing that this thing, it will happen like this.
say they will go scot-free. They will not need to atone. Why? Because Allah will do that thing. But these people are friends of Allah. So if you want to be in the category of those who, when they make dua, they will be saying that, Allah, show me a sign. You must be a friend of Allah. You must be a friend of Allah. This one happens even in our own day-to-day dealings with our friends. You have a friend that you know is able to do something, and he will not reject. Say this thing, let's do it like this. Say, should we do it like that? Sir, I will have to do. Okay, let me see it. Fine. But it's not everybody you can tell that. So if you up your relationship with Allah, if you up your submission to Allah, if you up your abstinence from sins, if you keep away from the poisons to dua, no matter how nice your dua, no matter how much you fulfill the conditions of dua, no matter how much you fulfill the adab of dua, make sure that there is no poison in your dua. The poison will make your dua not to fly. If you are free from all these, ikhwa, you would say, Allah, this thing will happen like this, it will happen. I have seen cases like that before. Someone will say, this thing like this, it will happen, it will happen, ikhwa. There are brothers, I have seen cases like that. It will happen as he said it. And he will say it with insistence. This thing, you will see it like this, and it will happen. I have seen many cases like this. So what remains for us, Ikhwa, is to up. You clean yourself up. Reconnect with your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Better yourself. So that you belong, you get in to those people who, when they say, Allah, we do this, Allah, we do it. But you see a man on the street fornicating, misbehaving, watching social media and all of these, is full of always seeing women, seeing this, that's all he gets busy with. Yeah, he wants to be telling Allah, show me a sign. Who are you to tell Allah? Who are you in the sight of Allah to say to Allah to show you a sign? Who are you? So the matter requires this kind of explanation. Hoping that, bismillah, we all will reconcile. We all will adjust. We all will find a means of getting closer to Allah. Allah says, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ. Seek means of nearness to Allah. Do things that with which you can ask Allah for something. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Make good efforts on the part of Allah so that you attain success. That time you can be like Zachariah. Even if you have a dream that also says, show me my dream, Allah, how it will be. And Allah will show you. Oh Allah, make me see something, and I will make you see it. But if you don't create that relationship, you are saying this one, you'll be far away. You poison your dua. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah rectify all of us. May Allah make us his friends. When we make dua, we don't make this kind of dua. Allah, make me your friend. Be my friend, make me your friend. Because when you are a friend of Allah, you don't have any problem. Yes, when Allah makes you his friend, and you can say, I'm a friend of Allah. How do you know the friends of Allah? Allah told us about them in the end of Surah Al-Furqan. Go and check the list. The boxes are there. Go and see whether you tick the box. As young people say now, have you ticked your box? Have you ticked your box? Tick your box too. Go and check your box about your relationship with Allah. In about 20 verses in Surah Al-Furqan, Ibadur Rahman, Allah described them. Allazina yamshuna alal ardi hauna. How are you? How do you handle that one? Wa idha khatabahumul jahiluna qalu salama. Go and check that list and see where you belong. To the end of that surah, you will know where you belong. You will know what you need to adjust. May Allah make things easy for us. May Allah accept our dua. May Allah forgive us. May Allah make things easy for us. Make us from the people of Iman. O Allah, show your mercy upon us with that. Be merciful to us. Make goodness easy for us.
make goodness be beloved to us. Make us be from the people of goodness. Make evil be hated to us. And make us be far away from evil and its people. Protect us, Ya Allah. Protect us, Ya Allah. Make our affairs easy. Make our endeavors easy. Ya Arhamar Rahim. Naam Aba. Aba Amin.
And Jazakum Allah Khair, Shaykh.
Amin, Amin, Amin.
Next question reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Can
one put a time frame to a said prayer? For example, saying, I want something within this period.
It has been answered with the first, it has been answered with the first question. That question, that response has covered all things like that.
Another one reads, if someone makes a mistake in his supplications to Allah, a slip of tongue, will such dua be granted?
Yes. The scholars, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned it. The dua will be granted according to what he was intending, not according to his mistake. The dua will be granted according to what he was intending, not according to the mistake of his tongue. Because Allah ya'lamu kha'inatal a'yun wa ma tukhfi as-sudur. So Allah will, he hears your tongue and he sees your heart. So he, your response will not be upon your mistake. It will be upon the true request you have in mind.
Regarding the previous answer, another question is here. Is it right to be afraid of being Allah's friend out of fear of increased testing?
Is it right to be afraid? To be a friend of Allah, because when you are his friend, he will test you. Does that fear make you graduate from the university or not? The fear of writing a final year project, the fear of facing professors to defend your final year project, the fear of writing a seminar, facing the entirety of your department, students and lecturers. Does that fear make you proceed to graduate, or the fear makes you remain in the first year of university? Your answer for that is the answer for this. So that fear is not a fear that is valid. Shaitan brings the fear to make you remain where you are. So throw that fear away and proceed. Bismillah. I hope that's clear, Baran.
Ma'am Sheikh.
Yeah. I mean.
Other question reads, please, Sheikh, since du'as like Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasana and the likes, this ayat of the Quran, and we are often encouraged to make du'a in our sujood, especially during Qiyam al-Layl. So can this du'as be said also in our sujood or lectures?
Yes, some scholars say, if you say Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana and other Rabbana hab lana min azwajina Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya wa an a'mala salihan tardah wa aslih li fi dhurriyyati inni tubtu ilayk wa in name in al-Muslimin. Du'as like this in the Quran, you can say them like that in sujood, because your intention is not to read Quran. The intention is to do what? To say du'a, even if those du'as are from the Quran. Others say to go out of khuruja min al-khilaf, go out of any kind of a misunderstanding in that. Add Allahumma to them. So you want to say Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. What do you say? Allahumma Rabbana atina. By that you would have removed it, because once you add Allahumma, it is completely different from the way it occurs in the Quran. So say Allahumma Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. That's in your sujood. But other than when you are in sujood, other than when you are in ruku', you can say it as what? Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. I hope that this is clear about how.
Although this was described in earlier classes, but the question here, it reads, are we to raise our hands facing the sky or facing our direction? Is that
in the dua of Istisqa'u that the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam, the hand is still the same raising of the hands. It just goes further up. The first one we describe in the first hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubair and Abdullah ibn Umar, the first hadith in the chapter. The hand will be put together side by side in front of our face, like something we employ to cover our face. But in the one that was described in that hadith of Anas ibn Malik, you see, Anas said the Prophet raised his hand so up in the sky. Until I was even seeing the whiteness of his armpits. So it means the hand will go up, up, so that even the elbows will be stretched while the hand is up like that. That is how the hand will be raised. It will be raised such that the two hands will go up. In the sky, up in the sky. These are some limitations of learning from afar. I would have loved to show us how we do that. But I think it's clear in the description. The hand should go straight up, up in the sky, up in the sky. When Anna said, I could even see his armpit, because perhaps he was wearing a rida, the way we wear rida'u and izar in Ihram. I think that was how he was dressed. Arabs dressed like that ordinarily. So he raised his hands, alayhi salatu wasalam, to the sky. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his armpits became exposed. So that is the way to do it. I hope that that is clear.
No,
I'm
sure. Another question here is, please, what is the position of making dua in Arabic that one does not know the meaning?
If it is a dua from the Quran, you don't have a problem with that. If it's a dua from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every dua that has come from the Prophet is good, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His dua, pick the books of Sunnah, we've recommended Hisnul Muslim to us. There is Al-Kalimu Tayyib too. There is Al-Wabil Sayyib too. There are other books that inside it there are dua. In Hisnul Muslim, it's every dua inside it has been translated into English. So don't just sit down and say, I don't know Arabic. You keep quiet like that. Don't forget, we have learned in Ad-Da'u wa Dawa that ignorance is a disease. It is from the diseases of the heart. So you must stand up to cure yourself of this disease. The way to stand up is start learning something. Start increasing your knowledge. Don't just sit down like that. Stand up. Help yourself. More so when it has to do with your dealings with Allah. Don't just sit down. Stand up. Help yourself. Get books. Get audios. Get materials. Get into learning circles. Make jottings. Make good efforts. Don't just sit down there. I don't know Arabic.
and I don't know how to make dua. Okay, even the books that has been translated to English, you can't stand up to get that one too. There are a lot of books that have been I did a translation of a book in dua. The duas are from the Quran, they are from ahadith. So stand up, look for books where the dua inside them are from the Quran and hadith. Don't forget, keep this one in your mind. When you are looking for a book on dua, make sure that you are insisting that you only want dua from the Quran and where hadith, so that you don't get into bad hands. Because the one that follows that one are people who have innovated a lot of things. I give you one example. Since when we were kids, Fawzul Azim. Do you know Al-Fawzul Azim? One small book that has Surah to Yasin in it. Allah has removed that now. You may not even, some people may not even see it at all or know about it at all. Fawzul Azim was a book, it has Surah to Yasin in it. It also has the khutbah, as they call it. They say khutbah Yasin inside it. It has Surah Al-Waqi'ah in it. Small like this, like palm size. When we are far younger than this in the madrasa, we used to have it. It's always in our pocket. Now, there are others too like it, but let me use Fawzul Azim. Now, after Surah Yasin, it has what they call Khutbah Yasin. The meaning of a khutbah, ayyuhal ikhwah. That's why if you don't learn, you are deceased. You must learn. And you are vulnerable. One of the most, people say vulnerable people are women and children. Children because they have not learned a lot in life. Women because they may not pay attention to. Otherwise, one of the things that makes you become so vulnerable to manipulation is ignorance. How can a surah have a khutbah? The meaning of khutbah is sermon. So they say khutbah Yasin, the sermon after Yasin. Yasin itself is a sermon. So they deceive you to say, Atika Yasin, we have read Yasin, now we want to read the khutbah of Yasin. And you have accepted. You are an accountant. You are a lawyer, son. And they are deceiving you like this. You are saying, Ami. So ignorance is a disease. They say they read Yasin to you. They also want to read the khutbah of Yasin. Yasin, inside Yasin itself, it says, the tunzira kawma ma unzira aba'uhum. This Quran has come as a warner to a group of people that their parents and grandparents have not been warned. The Quran, the entirety of Surah Yasin is a lot. The same thing, they read Yasin, they want to collect money. Inside Surah Yasin, it says, don't follow the one who will say, bring money. In Surah Yasin is there. But when they read the Yasin, they say, bring money. In Surah Yasin, they say, don't follow the one. So don't be, if you are ignorant, you will be manipulated, you become vulnerable. You'll be saying, Ami, and they are deceiving you. Now the point about that, why you need to be looking for dua in Quran and Hadith, a book of dua that contains dua of Quran and dua of Hadith is this. In that khutbah of Yasin, there are seven names of jinns inside it. Jinns. Ya Rauka, ya, and they are calling them by their names, invoking them. Ya Rauka, ya Ilu. Arwabila, Arwababila, Sada Bila, Sada Babila. All these are names of jinns. They call them. And you be saying, Ami, Arwabila, Arwababila, Sada Bila, Sada Babila. And they end with Inatin, they end with the last part of Surah Al-Kawthar. You'll be saying, Ami. One thing, they are calling the names of jinns to you, invoking jinns to you. You are thinking that they are invoking Allah for you. Do you now see that ignorance is a big disease? Why do you like to remain ignorant? One of the worst things a Muslim will do to himself or herself is to remain ignorant. So as we encourage you to buy books on dua, make sure that you are specifically asking for dua according to Quran and Sunnah. Look for it as part of the titles. Dua in the Quran, dua according to Sunnah. Otherwise, you may be reading a book of dua. You are calling a jinn thinking that you are calling Allah. That is shirk. To invoke other than Allah is shirk. You see that they have destroyed your dunya, they have destroyed your akhirah. If you choose to be ignorant and not do anything. The deen that rejects ignorance most is Islam. If you want to be ignorant, just know that you are vulnerable. Unfortunately, there are vultures that will deal with you in the society. They will play with your life. They will destroy your life. They will destroy your hereafter. And they will dispossess you of what you have. In their misguiding you, they will collect all your property. If you choose to be ignorant, may Allah protect all of us. I think that when you choose to buy a book of dua, make it be clear that you want a book that is based on Quran and the Sunnah. The dua inside them are dua according to the Quran. They are dua according to the Sunnah. So that will help you to properly make dua. Some of them have been translated into maybe English language. Was why I mentioned one that I translated long ago, almost 15 years now. It was published in Malaysia. It's about the dua from the Quran and the dua from Afadis. For the sake of Allah, let's look for it. Don't remain ignorant. If you remain ignorant, you are so vulnerable. May Allah protect us all. I hope that is clear to inshallah. I mean, can we call it a day today, Abu Amir?
No.
I mean, the same thing, Dua Ganzul Arsh. Don't buy Dua Ganzul Arsh. It's part of it. It's part of those Dua of misguidance. Ganzul Arsh, don't buy it. There are others like that. Always look for according to Quran and Sunnah in the book of Dua that you want to buy. Make it be Quran. Make it be Sunnah. May Allah guide us and protect us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Amin.
Amin.